Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You won't only be voting on who takes the White House tomorrow. With all of the outsized attention on the presidential campaign, you might have missed that it's a big election year for the New York State Senate. Several close races around the state, six or seven of them, including some really important ones on Long Island, could shift the majority into Democratic hands for, depending on what you count, the first time in 50 years. In other words, Governor Cuomo, you talk about Clinton, if she's president, having or not having a Democratic Congress to work with. We've had the same kind of dynamic in New York State for a long, long time. And Governor Cuomo could have a Democratic majority in both houses to enact more progressive legislation with. Here to break down some of the races with us and discuss the impact that they may have in Albany. And obviously, we talk about this on the day before the election, because when it comes to something as local and out of the headlines and unsexy as state Senate races, this is when people get your minds around even the idea. So whether you're for a Democratic takeover of the Senate, whether you're for keeping the Senate in Republican hands, we're going to tick off some of the races here where your vote is going to matter a lot tomorrow for a New York State Senate. And to help us do that is Jimmy Vielkind, Politico New York's Albany Bureau Chief. Hi, Jimmy. Welcome back to WNYC.
Happy to bring sexy back to the state Senate, Brian.
There you go. You want to elaborate a little more on the lay of the land after the basics that I laid out there?
Well, it looks like this is the most closely and really the biggest live ball, in my opinion, in state politics. We know that Hillary Clinton is going to take New York. We know that Chuck Schumer is going to be reelected as our United States Senator and maybe become the Senate Majority Leader. And so the real ball game here for New Yorkers is who will control the state Senate, because as your listeners probably know, we now have a Democratic governor. We have a New York State Assembly that is solidly dominated by Democrats. And if Democrats retake the state Senate, we have all Democratic rule in New York, something that, even though we're a pretty deeply blue state, as you noted, we haven't had for 50 years. So it's going to come down to a couple of races in the Hudson Valley and on Long Island, particularly in Nassau County. It's an ever-evolving situation where I think basically anything could happen.
And there are some Democrats in the bloc known as the IDC, the Independent Democratic Caucus, who might actually vote for Republican control of the Senate. But we'll get to that. Let's first see whether the Ds or the Rs are likely to get in some of these districts. So let's go through these particular ones, a few of them. And we'll start on Long Island. State Senate District 5, Oyster Bay and Huntington and around there. The incumbent is Republican Carl Marcellino. The challenger would be the Democrat James Goran, if I'm saying his name right. I'm not sure. Why would suddenly Carl Marcellino, who's been in office a long time, be vulnerable?
Well, many of these districts on Long Island have been sort of the surrounded, like if you imagine a Dutch city, they're surrounded by levees and dikes and just trying to keep out the floodwaters. I talked about how New York is getting to be a more and more blue state every year. That's especially true in places like Long Island, where we currently have 8 of the 9 state senators, members of that delegation, as Republicans. And so every presidential year, you essentially have a race between the power of incumbency, the power of entrenched political habits, and that has meant Republicans, including Senator Marcellino, as opposed to a turnout surge of mostly Democrats, and each year it's more and more Democrats who are going to the polls in a disproportionate number. So Senator Marcellino is certainly susceptible to exactly those forces. We saw that he 4 years ago had a somewhat close race. This year, Democrats are lining up behind Goran, a longtime political figure on Long Island, who has received the endorsement of Governor Andrew Cuomo. There's a lot of money pouring into the race. And one thing that's been particularly interesting is that Marcellino, the incumbent, is currently the chair of the Senate Education Committee, a fairly powerful post. But Goran has received lots of strength from parents who are big in the opt-out movement. They're unhappy with Marcellino. And we've seen lots of money, mostly from a PAC affiliated with charter schools, New Yorkers for a Balanced Albany, rushing to Marcellino's defense. So that's one of the races that I think is on the tipping point. It's very difficult because there's no public polling data to say what's going where.
Right.
And the other factor that is present in this race and several other races is that Democrats argue that the Republicans are the status quo. Carl Marcellino is someone who has been in office for more than a decade. He is not perhaps as vigorous a campaigner as he once was. And this is a case that Democrats are making in a year of the outsider, that it's time to have the outsiders come in, and in this case, it's them.
Now, another race on Long Island where education also very much comes into play, I see, is Senate District 7, which is northwestern Nassau County. So I guess that would be some Gold Coast towns along the northwestern, you know, portion of Nassau County, close to the city, close to Bayside and Little Neck and around there. So Adam Haber is the Democrat and Elaine Phillips is the Republican. I've seen it written that no race is more important to Senate Republicans' hopes to retain a majority than this one, and that there's a good chance this will be the most expensive state Senate race in state history, and that one of the Republican Phillips' biggest beneficiaries, or she's been the big beneficiary of an independent expenditure committee controlled by charter school supporters. So what can you tell us there?
Well, this is a district that has been held by Republicans for the last several years. A guy named State Senator Jack Martins, but he's not seeking another term. He's running for Congress against Tom Suozzi in the seat that is being vacated by Steve Israel, who is retiring. So it's an open seat, and the Democratic challenger, Adam Haber, is a man of considerable means. He made a lot of money in investment banking, and he has loaned his campaign significant amounts of resources. And he ran previously for this seat and came fairly close to Martins. This year, of course, as I said, Democratic turnout surge. Things are looking better. And you have him facing off against Elaine Phillips, mayor of a small municipality up in the district. You're right in terms of the money here, because of Haber's personal wealth and because of, as you said, the at least $2.5 million that charter school-connected PAC has spent on Phillips' behalf, and because it's the New York City media market where ads are just expensive, this could be the most closely held race and the most expensive race. It's also important to remember that when Democrats last held the majority in 2009 and 2010, this seat was occupied by a Democrat, Craig Johnson. He was elected in the Obama turnout surge. He was more of a fiscal moderate. And when the Republicans retook the chamber in 2010, Johnson was voted out of, as I said, Jack Martin. So if Democrats are able to retake this district, it should be an indicator of their health in other areas through Nassau County. I think Democrats think it's one of their better shots to gain a seat. Again, Andrew Cuomo, who is not known to really go out on a limb when he can avoid it, has been very strong for Adam Haber. And looking at just the money that's flowing in, you can tell that it's a very competitive area.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Jimmy Vielkind is my guest, the Albany bureau chief for Politico New York, as we talk about the six most contested New York State Senate races, which could wind up flipping the state Senate into Democratic control and give Governor Cuomo an all-Democratic-controlled legislature for the first time in 50 years that we would have that condition in New York State. Five of the six, by the way, are on Long Island. The other one is upstate in a district from kind of Kingston to near Schenectady. So let's stay on the island since that's in our listening area. Another one is more on the South Shore, the Massapequa area, where you have Democrat John Brooks versus the Republican Michael Venditto. And if the name Venditto sounds familiar, like, I just heard that in the news, well, Venditto's father, the Oyster Bay supervisor, John Venditto, was arrested on federal corruption charges, as you may have heard, less than 3 weeks ago. Do you see that as having any impact on this race? He is not his father, after all.
He's not his father, of course, but the Democrats are certainly making that play. And they're making the play that it's not just John Venditto, but it was Nassau County Executive Ed Mangano. And then before that, it was Dean Skelos. major machers of the Republican machine in Nassau County that are now in the crosshairs of federal prosecutors.
You got that word. You did well on that word, by the way. Machers. You got the in there. You know, some people would just say mockers and get away with it. But it was good. Good, Jimmy. Machers.
We have Skelos heading to federal prison, provided he's not able to appeal his conviction and have it overturned. But it's the idea that Democrats are trying to paint the Republican establishment in Nassau County as corrupt. And certainly John Brooks, the challenger, is trying to ride that wave. Republicans were out this weekend with a mailer attacking him, saying that he is, in fact, the corrupt one. Whenever you see last-minute attacks like that, it's always a sign that a race is pretty close. I think that Republicans and Democrats, frankly, before those arrests, had not considered this one of their top-tier contests. But in the final weeks, it has bubbled up and emerged as something that is competitive and worth paying attention to. Venditto, of course, is not much. I think he has served one term in Albany. So he's not one of the more entrenched Republican incumbents.
And again, I see that there's a charter school super PAC spending a lot of money to attack the Democrat in this race. I guess I didn't realize that the charter school movement was so active on Long Island. I think when we generally hear about it in the media, it has more to do with low-income districts in the city of New York and in the urban areas in general. And the assumption is that on Long Island, most of the school districts are good and charter schools aren't such an issue. Why are we seeing charter schools spring up in race after race among these majorly contested state Senate contests?
Well, it's basically the reverse of the Willie Sutton principle. The money will go where the competitive races are, and right now the competitive races are on Long Island. Charter school supporters know that Republicans in control of the state Senate have been supportive of their efforts over the past years. Republicans have raised the cap on charter schools. They've lobbied to increase the aid allocation for charter schools. And they're fearful that Democrats, who you would note as the flip side, are making and taking a lot of support from the teachers' unions, the charter schools think that they have an ally in the Senate Republicans and that they want to keep them. That's why we're seeing these expenditures.
So it's kind of a two-step process. They give money to the Senate Republicans, the charter school advocates do, so that they'll continue to vote to expand the reign of charter schools in New York City primarily?
I think that what you described might be a little bit close to a quid pro quo in the era of pre-Perara, but it's very clear that the charter schools have been served well by the Republicans, and I think that it won't go unnoticed by the Republicans if they're able to hold on to their majority or even grow it this year with the help of charter schools.
I forgot. People who give a lot of money to political candidates don't want anything in return. Now, another race that when you talk about the corruption in Nassau County, this may be the epicenter because the seat that Dean Skelos himself, the former majority leader who got brought down on corruption charges by Preet Bharara, his now vacant seat or the seat that he vacated, which is currently held by a Democrat, Todd Kominski, who took that seat, versus the Republican Chris McGrath. How in play is Dean Skelos' old stomping grounds?
You know, a lot of that Kominski is going to be just fine. Earlier this year, I was up at a panel and listened to the top political people in both the Republican and the Democratic conference talk about this race. And the Democrats said that Kominski was solid, whereas the Republicans are saying that McGrath was sort of a sleeping giant, so to speak. What we haven't seen much, though, is a lot of activity from McGrath. Things were very close in the April 19th special election for this district. Kominski won that by a small but solid margin. What we haven't seen is a lot of fundraising activity from McGrath, and we haven't seen nearly as much money flowing to this district as to other districts. So most of the smart political operatives on both sides of the aisle seem to give the advantage here to Todd Kominski.
And that's another South Shore district, District 9. I didn't mention that before. And the one final Long Island district in play for the New York State Senate, the Garden City, Levittown, Hempstead Area District, the Democrat Ryan Cronin versus Kemp Hannon, another familiar name for people who followed state Senate politics at all. So Kemp Hannon is a pretty entrenched Republican and I think a fairly widely respected one. Is he vulnerable?
You know, again, it's the same thing. The tides are rising and the levees are they're doing everything they can to pile sandbags on the levees. At the Capitol, Hannon has a reputation for being a pretty substantive legislator, particularly in the area of health care. He's the longtime chair of the Senate's Health Committee. And what you're seeing is major pillars of the health care industry in New York supporting his campaign, perhaps fearful that whomever will replace him, be it Gustavo Rivera, a Democrat from the Bronx who is the ranking Democratic member on that committee, just won't have the base of knowledge and won't have the depth of relationship that Hannon has developed over the years. So again, we've seen lots of money from the Communication Workers of America supporting Cronin, as well as a PAC affiliated with SEIU 32BJ. Hannon is receiving money from a PAC affiliated with the Real Estate Board of New York, again from the Charter School PAC, and a lot, as I said, from a super PAC called New Yorkers for Quality Healthcare, which has spent, as of the end of last week, about $300,000 on his behalf. I suspect all these numbers are actually a little bit higher than what I'm working off of. It's just the last comprehensive tally we did was last week. You know, Democrats always talk about how Kemp Hannon is demographically vulnerable. And in the 8 years that I've been covering the New York State Senate and covering these elections, I've heard the same argument over and over again. And I've always seen Hannon reelected. There are people who have been doing this for much longer than I who can say that they've seen that trend play out over decades. So that's an interesting case where incumbency is not just a matter of levers of power, but actually does really become a core part of your narrative for reelection. So that's a race where I think that it will be more of a referendum on Hannon than perhaps some other parts of Long Island or the state.
So for listeners who haven't heard this whole thing and wonder who are these obscure people who we're talking about, we're almost out of time with Jimmy Vielkind, the Albany bureau chief for Politico New York, as we've been assessing the five contested state Senate races on Long Island, which, if the Democrats win enough of them, could give the Democrats a solid majority in the state Senate for the first time in 50 years, or at least, I guess, in the two houses combined. And Governor Cuomo, if he wants to propose progressive legislation, would have an easier time getting through. But before you go, Jimmy, I just do want to talk about the wild card in all of this for a minute, which is that there was actually a Democratic Senate a few years ago, but about five members who were Democrats voted for a Republican, for a majority leader, which gave the Republicans all kinds of power to stop Democratic initiatives, even though there was, I think, by one, a Democratic majority in the state Senate. And these five Democrats are members of the IDC, or Independent Democratic Conference, led by Jeff Klein of the Bronx and Westchester. And I think Jeff Klein said the other day, well, his allegiance is still in play here. Let's see how the election turns out. So what do you see as the role of the IDC in 2017 if the Democrats take the majority?
I think that Jeff Klein is the kingmaker of the state Senate. I don't see a scenario where Democrats take enough seats to make Klein irrelevant and to win an outright majority. It doesn't seem, based on what we're seeing from the national election, that Republicans will be able to do very much. And so I think Klein is really in the catbird seat. Just to go into the numbers a little bit, Brian, right now you could argue that Democrats have a majority in the state Senate. There are 31 Republicans in a 63-seat chamber right now. There are five members of the IDC. There are 26 mainstream Democrats, and there is Simca Felder of Brooklyn, who is elected as a Democrat but who sits with the Republicans. So that should be 26 Democrats, five IDC, and one Simca Felder is 32. It is a majority. Let's say, for example, that the Republicans drop just a net of two seats, which I think is a very feasible situation given what we're seeing here. We already know that Klein is going to grow his faction from five senators to six because Marisol Alcantara won that uptown seat for the state Senate. I don't see a scenario where either the Republicans or the Democrats are trying to hammer out a power-sharing coalition with Klein, which means that the results of these elections will be informative, but they will certainly not be dispositive as to who will control the chamber and who will really control all of state government come January. I suspect that for the next several months, we're going to be talking about what the Senate rules look like. Perhaps there will be some sort of a coalition style of government. Perhaps there will be something like 2012, where we saw Klein as the co-Senate leader, along with former Majority Leader Dean Skelos, where the men had joint control over which bill came to the floor. Maybe Klein will push harder to try and be elected the outright majority leader in this go-around. I think that a big question will be what Klein wants to do. It will be what Republicans are willing to offer. They do seem, and they have shown in the past, that they're willing to work with him and they're willing to empower him. But also a big wild card will be, what will Andrew Cuomo do? Cuomo, of course, a Democrat, and as your listeners know, has not up until this year been really wild about having Democrats control the state Senate. He's raised money for his party mates this year. He has stumped for several candidates in close elections this year, which is a break from previous cycles. But what will Cuomo say about Jeff Klein? Will he stand up and say, I'm the leader of the Democratic Party, you must form with the Democrats or else? Or will he say something more along what he has said in the past, which is, it's really not my place to get involved here in an internal legislative process? We have a few more hours of campaigning left for these races, but then several more weeks of negotiation as to who will actually control the Senate.
We just have a minute left. What policies, to make this as tangible as possible for listeners, do you think are really at stake here with respect to whether the IDC plays ball with the Republicans or just falls in line with the Democratic majority if there is a Democratic majority?
I can think of a few off the top of my head. I think that income tax rates for high-income earners in New York, which are set to expire at the end of next year, I think that Klein's affiliation will have a major impact on what policy we set there. Charter school policy, I think, will be majorly impacted by the governing structure that emerges in this. And I also think several proposals to clean up Albany, quote unquote, it seems like it's an impossible task, including limiting outside income for legislators or even a system of public campaign finance. I think that that will have a lot to do with whether or not we have an IDC Democratic coalition leading the state Senate or an IDC Republican coalition leading the state Senate.
Fascinating. And there you have it, listeners, the five state Senate districts on Long Island, all five on Long Island, plus one upstate that we didn't talk about, but that's not in our listening area, where control of the state Senate in New York will be decided tomorrow. Glad we got a chance to list each of those races so people in those areas, whether you want a Democratic control, the controlled Senate or Republican controlled Senate, now you know that your neighborhoods, your towns, your villages on Long Island can control that outcome. Jimmy Vielkind, Albany Bureau Chief for Politico New York, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.